It's Hugh. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode, which I think is 101. I really should have checked about that before recording, but let's be honest, research and effort are not things that I do. I am very, very excited and happy about this episode. The brilliant Carl from the hilarious Who Are These Podcasts is on. Now, I'll be totally honest, about 3 weeks ago, I had, at the time of recording this, it's October 25th, I had never heard of Carl or Who Are These Podcasts. Then I heard an episode on YouTube of of his feud with Stuttering John, who of course was the guest on episode 100 of my show. It is fucking hilarious, and the best thing is that John Stuttering John takes the bait every time and reacts every time, to the point where we're like, he's threatening to fight them and he's threatening to fucking meet them up and assault them and all this stuff, and it is brilliant and it's hilarious. But yeah, so Carl is on. He's very, very funny, and it's great to get to meet him because I'm so afraid to ever get on the wrong side of him, because I've started to binge a lot of episodes of Who Are These Podcasts, and holy shit is it funny, and holy shit do they bury people. He is great, and he is great on this episode, which, as you can tell by the background music, is still Christmas themed. For those that don't know, here in Ireland, from November 1st onwards, we like to fucking celebrate that shit early, and frankly, it's an excuse to binge drink and overeat, so there you go. But before we get to the interview, we've got the all-exciting moment that nobody can wait for. It is time for the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to see the video version of tonight's interview, then go check it out on Hugie Entertainment on YouTube. It's finally going my way in that it is starting to build up the views and build up subscribers. We're approaching 10,000 subscribers. I'm liking the way it's going, so thank you very much. Leave comments, and please do troll, because even when you leave a comment to insult me, it's actually building up the view count, whether you know it or not. So yay, Hugie, and fuck your mother. Speaking of YouTube, if you happen to be a fan of professional wrestling, well, why don't you go find and subscribe to Keep the 100 Official. That's the official YouTube channel for the legendary podcast hosted by Conan and Disco Inferno. If you want to interact with me on social media, I'm at the Hugie on Instagram, at Hugie on Twitter. That's where I want to be followed, not on Facebook, so fuck off with your Facebook requests, shitheads. And I have to say that any and all music clips you may hear within this episode, well, they're all 5-star brilliant, and there's my Legal Loophole review. And if you want to own these songs and you want to support these artists, well, you can go buy them from all good music stores and official streaming sites. So thank you, and the plugs are over. Yeah, so we're continuing this Christmas theme, and I've also got a theme of calling into a few other people before the show starts. I think I'm going to have to call into wrestling legend Raven and see how Raven's doing, and maybe ask him a little question or two. Raven, hello.
Let's see. Adam Hughes, Kylie Minogue questions.
Uh-oh. Oh, jeez.
Over the weekend, I went from not being a fan at all to downloading about 30 of pop legend Kylie Minogue's songs. She had quite a varied style of music, from radio-friendly pop to indie rock to full-on dance music. So with that in mind, and with your knowledge of music, do you think she's ever suckled a black guy's cock?
Oh, boy.
Plus, ooh, when she was dating Michael Hutchence of INXS, do you think he ever fucked her in the arsehole and came in it? She had cancer. Joe, plug, Rich, Trump forever, Raven, get my go.
Wow. Kylie Minogue here. I believe she was an Australian soap opera star, correct?
Yeah, and she
and
was
then she
also
became a singer.
She was,
and she wrote that she made a cover of the song "Locomotion" by Little Eva and Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah, but you're all forgetting the biggest achievement of her long career.
What's that?
She was the co-star of Biodome back in '95. So
was she really? Shore and Stephen Baldwin.
Oh yeah, tremendous movie.
Why do I remember that and I can't remember what I had for lunch?
What was one of her more recent hits? I know she kind of reinvented herself, right? Didn't she have a big hit, I don't know, 10 years ago?
She
had a big hit when she took Michael Hutchins' Event and Access in her arsehole.
Oh, boy.
Biodome.
Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue. Minogue.
I want to see what her other hit was. Magic, apparently, was a big song.
She's short, too. She's like 5 foot.
Yeah, five foot. 4'11". 52 years old. Wow.
Oh, she looks great. She's known for her buttocks, her sexy arse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Raven. And what a sweetheart you really are once we get to fucking know you. But just before we get to Carl, you know what? I'm going to have to drop in a little conversation with the director of Get My Go, Mike Durban himself. I'm going to have to talk to him about movies. I just can't stop talking about films 24/7. And this is where the draw is. Really see the effort and the time that goes into this debate. We clearly, clearly know what we're doing. Mike Durban, hello. Yo, Durban, thanks for coming on so much. I know you're very busy at the time. But I was just wondering, what's your take on Thor?
Great film.
Well, Mike, I thought this was a great review. Why don't you give a plug out there?
The Mike Durban Show, once or twice a month on the Creative Control Network.
Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEZY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEZY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. Okay, Hughie Marks, I want to talk to you now about your dicks. Do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Now listen up and listen hard, just like your dick's going to be hard. BlueChew.com, you know, blue, like the color blue, not B-L-E-W, which is what she's going to do after you take this stuff. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. And these aren't just like a once-in-a-while thing. Like, you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast as a pill, so you can get your dick harder than F whenever the opportunity comes up. Notice I said the word comes. I gotta be honest with you. As it's coming into the winter season, I tend to go out a lot more, drink a lot more. Maybe not so much in the healthiest of mindsets. So this sort of stuff always helps. You can't go home after a couple of winter, Christmas sort of drinks and just think, right, well, that's me off the bed. Deal with it. You go, nope. I take a couple of Blue Chew, get ready for action, and bang! Everybody's happy. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's waiting office or waiting line at a pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. So, you know, you don't have to worry about awkward eye contact with a hot, sexy, sexy post-person. Notice I said person? I'm very woke. They're made in America, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're actually cheaper than pharmacies. And best of all, no more awkwardness. We don't need awkwardness and hard dicks together anymore. Well, right now there's a very special deal for all the great listeners, man, of It's Cheesy Hello. If you go to BlueChew.com and you get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code HELLO. H-E-L-L-O. I actually had to look up how to spell hello there. It's not a great day. But all you're going to do is just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code HELLO to try it for free. 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 Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast, It's Cheesy Hello. And we thank them for making our dicks hard. On with the show. Okay, thank you, Mike. Up next is Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. Now, I've got to say it again. You really need to go check out Who Are These Podcasts if you're not listening. It is fucking hilarious. I have just currently, since the beginning of recording this intro to, saying this word right now that you're hearing, I've just downloaded their new episode, episode 229, The Free Beer and Hot Wings Morning Show. So there you go. I'm going to get on that right after this. And hope to fuck I'm never on Who Are These Podcasts, because holy shit, if he does, I'm going to fucking kill him. Oh yes, I'm going to find him and stab him again. I'll cut his fucking face off. Oh yes, I will put the knife inside the eye of his dick. And I will twist that knife around, and then I'll pull it out, make him smell the blade. But that's enough of the intro. That's all the Christmas feeling I can handle for now. Carl from Who Are These Podcasts, hello. Welcome into the podcast right now. We have a man who strikes fear into the heart of every podcaster at the minute. We've got the great Carl Herbinger from Who Are These Podcasts. Carl, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome, Husey. Thanks for having me, buddy.
No, it's just that, but I've got to start off with the most interesting, unique question that you've never been asked before.
Oh, can't wait.
It really shows how exciting this podcast is and why literally 10 billion people listen per episode. Hey, Carl, why don't you tell us about Who Are These Podcasts and what it's about?
I would love to. Thank you for asking me. I host a podcast called Who Are These Podcasts. We're in our fifth year now, and what we do is we make fun of other people's podcasts. We don't pull any punches. It's kind of a roast style show. And we based it on a segment called Jocktober that Opie and Anthony used to do back in the day. In fact, somebody put up a YouTube video that's just Jocktober on a loop all of the month of October. And I've been listening to that the last couple of days, reliving those moments. Those were, if anyone's not familiar, they had a radio show on Sirius XM. And they would just pick a different morning radio show, some kind of wacky crew morning zoo radio show here in the States. And they would just pick them apart and rip them to shit. And it was a lot of fun. So that's kind of what we're doing here, but with podcasts.
But that's the thing about the podcast that always scares me, because due to my massive narcissistic ego, every time a new episode comes out, I'm always assuming, oh God, they're going to get me.
I hear that from a lot of podcasters, that they're a little bit nervous about showing up on our radar.
Yeah, because I'm much like yourself. I'm a huge ONA fan.
Yep.
And I've had a bunch of guests from the ONA world. Like for example, I had Anthony Cumia on. And listening back to it, this is before I'd got equipment and recording software and all this shit. Yeah. It was just me talking into the onboard mic, and the quality is so bad. And I'm trying so hard to make him like me that you think that you listen back to it and you go, thank fuck I've got a really large penis, because this episode is terrible.
Oh, I've done so many cringe episodes that I could not possibly listen back to. And I've upgraded my equipment over the years too. So we used to goof on people's podcasts. Meanwhile, our show sounded like complete garbage.
Yeah, but that's actually the really sad thing about a podcast is it's so easy to start. But that doesn't mean everybody should. Like, even some of the, like, Ricky Gervais's podcast, I think is shit, because he'd be like, hey, Carl, do you like pens? And the other guy would go, yeah. And he'd go, ah, he likes fucking pens with a fucking wanker. And it's like, and it's that for an hour where you think, why is he getting paid?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because we do a variety of very small podcasts. Like you said, anyone could start one and they probably shouldn't. And those are fun to pick on. But the best ones are these huge shows with celebrities hosting them that are terrible. Like, these people put zero effort into it and they put it out there. And it's like, you shouldn't be doing this. You're hurting your own brand by putting this podcast out.
Well, that brings me to the subject. He's a regular target of Who Are These Podcasts. And I know him personally. I've interviewed him a few times. The great Stuttering John.
Oh, you've interviewed Stuttering John.
Yeah. Oh, well, weirdly, Stuttering John helped me with this podcast, because I started it about 2 years ago. And at the time, I was trying to interview anyone, and I didn't know what I was doing. But during the course of starting the podcast to when Stuttering John came on, I get this horrific back injury. I get this prolapsed disc. So for a few days, I literally couldn't walk. So I was prescribed this medication. It didn't work. So they prescribed stronger stuff. So it's like, fine. I took, it was a 3 or 4 pills. Next thing you know, I get a DM from Stuttering John, and he said, he's like, "Hey, buddy, I can do the interview between now and the next 2 hours, because after that, I'm going traveling for 3 weeks."
So you got to do it on his terms. Wow. Yeah. What a great guy.
But I thought that, you know, fair enough, I'm desperate for interviews, so go do it.
Yeah.
In the process of the interview starting, and it only went like 8 minutes, the pills kicked in.
Yep.
And I had a really bad reaction to it. So I started, like, my pupils just went like that. And I'm sweating and getting woozy and sort of slipping, falling about. And it was so bad because of me, not because of him, that he started telling other people. He's like, "I did this interview with this Irish guy. He was fucked up." And it helped me get people like Jim Florentine, Jackie the Joke Man, because they thought I'm this fucking drug addict junkie guy. And thankfully, I'm just an alcoholic. But that long-winded intro is to lead to, what was it that started your hunt slash feud with Stuttering John?
Well, first off, I want to back up real quick. I bet you weren't the most intoxicated person in that conversation. The fact that John is calling you out for being wasted on your show, I've documented how drunk this guy gets and how he's smoking weed, he's drinking beers live on YouTube. He gets wasted. So that's weird that he would say that. But that's funny. So he was kind of your breakthrough. He was the reason why you started getting some bigger names and some gets then.
Yeah, because one of the great things about like O&A and the Howard Stern era is that those days were so good.
Yeah.
That regardless of what date it is, they'd be like, "Did you fucking hear it? The Hughie's got Beetlejuice coming on."
Yep.
Elegant Elliot's coming on. Like, this is good. I've got to hear this, even though it's like, they're all fucked up and beyond what they were. But with Stuttering John, I did like him. But I've got to ask you about Stuttering John's very awkward interview with Chrissy Mayer.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
I've interviewed Chrissy, and it was awkward too, because here's the problem is, over here, it's not a very PC city.
Good.
So we cross the line, make edgy jokes. I was speaking to her off air before recording, and I don't know why, because I'm kind of a hippie liberal-ish. I said the N-word as part of the joke, not like I was making fun of black people. And then her face is just like
yep.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. But
us Yankees react to that word in a way that's like, get me out of here. disavow.
But talk to me about this whole...
Sure.
It seems to have really invigorated your attack on Stuttering John.
Yeah. So Stuttering John was doing a podcast a few years ago, the Stuttering John Show. He launched it with this guy, Royce, not Revenge of the Sith Royce, a different guy out in LA. And they had a studio, and they had a producer. It was a pretty well put together show with Stuttering John as the host. And what we do is we get suggestions from people to pick on and review podcasts, and Stuttering John came through. So, of course, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan from back in the day, and I know who Stuttering John is. So I'm like, yeah, let's listen to this show. So we just pulled a random episode. It was unbelievable how bad it was. The guy could not stop talking about how he used to be famous, going as far back as first grade and second grade when he played the trumpet and he started a play. And he wasn't saying this with any type of snicker or tongue-in-cheek. Like, he was serious that he thought he was amazing because of things that he's accomplished in his life. And so my co-host Kevin and I just mercilessly goofed on his show. Now, we've done that to a lot of people's shows, and then we just move on and we never talk about them again. The problem was Stuttering John did not take it well. And instead of what he should have done, like what the guys from Cumtown did, was goof on us back and be funnier than us. And then we kind of like, okay, good. He got us back. We're good. You know, moving on, sort of thing. Instead, John went straight to, I'm going to get attorneys involved. These guys can't be playing clips of my show. It's copyrighted. He said copywritten because he's an idiot. I'm going to sue them. It's like, whoa, John, what are you doing here? I thought that you were like this comedian. You had a good sense of humor. You could come back with something. You've been in radio for decades. You should know how this goes. Radio wars have been around forever. And he just reacted to it so poorly that I decided to obviously lean into that. And so we've been making fun of him, and he's been coming back at us. And now a lot of the people who watch his show are actually fans of Who Are These Podcasts. So he's getting trolled during his show every single episode, and he's reacting to that. So, of course, I'm playing his reactions on my show. So it's just kind of this thing that's perpetuated to a point where we have to talk about him every week because he's saying so many ridiculous things and saying so many things about me specifically or our listeners. And so it's just been a lot of fun to continue to have this saga go on.
Dude, what the fuck? They're playing my content that I had copywrote.
Yeah, copywrote. It's so funny. He has no sense of humor about himself. It's bizarre. The guy just needs to lighten up. I swear to God, he would live longer if he could just learn how to lighten up and relax.
The thing I don't get about John's show, because he can be funny when he's fucking about, but he talks about Trump so much.
Why?
That,
yeah.
That just say Trump does lose the election against Biden next month. John has no show.
Right. A lot of people are going to be out of a show. A lot of people who are rooting. Actually, I know you had Ryan Long on. I had him on my show recently, too. He had a great video about, these bloggers who are rooting for Biden. And then Biden wins, and they're all out of a job. It's like, oh, well, now what do you do? And I think a lot of these people who are, like, so pushing for this don't realize that this is all you got now. The only thing Stuttering John does, and he's on 3 days a week, is he brings on people with the most mundane, boring conversation about Trump. There's no way he's converting anyone. No one's tuning into that show who's like, I'm not sure. I think this Trump guy's okay. He did what? Oh, well, that never mind. It's like, we're all just like talking into an echo chamber. And it's really ridiculous. And I know John actually, let me look it up, because he just put out a Patreon. He just started his Patreon. And, you know, I make fun of him for not having any fans. And I say that the only people who watch him are people who are trolling him. But if you give him money, then you must actually be a fan. So his Patreon's been up for a week, and he has nine people supporting him on Patreon. So he has nine fans. All right. That's pretty impressive. I should probably take back everything I said. This Trump thing's really working out well for him.
But another guy who's got a podcast, who's really sort of given up, I feel, on podcasting is Opie. Now, he's another guy that I have kind of an issue with, because he told me back in 2018 that he was going to do the podcast and he was going to be my first big guest. And I was thinking, oh shit, this could really help. He follows me on Twitter and I've been in contact with him for 2 years. And he keeps saying, oh man, I'm kind of beat today. Maybe next week. And it's like I understand being busy, but it's two fucking years. Like, prisoners are able to make plans more. Plus, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you've heard, he announced the other day that he's going to start a show with Bubba the Love Sponge.
That's unbelievable. I heard them talking about it on Bubba's show. I mean, those are two washed-up has-beens. That's really funny.
But
I'm excited about that.
But the other thing about it is just, what I don't get, it's like, Bubba the Love Sponge is with the whole cancel culture shit going on, the fact that he hasn't been cancelled yet, it's either a sign that he's not famous anymore or they just haven't got to him. He's literally admitted in interviews to sexual assault, where he was being interviewed by Howard Stern. And he said,
when we have a porn stars coming up to the show, we would say, listen, if you want to come on and promote your DVD, you have to suck my dick and you have to suck all the boys' dicks.
It's like, so you're forcing this woman to give 5 blowjobs to come on the air to be called a whore?
That's way worse than what Joey Diaz said on Rogan, and yet that's like making front page news.
Yeah, and then there's an ex-porn star who used to work on the show, and they literally would call her the show hoa. She was a hoa. But she said that it was like show banter, but even off mic, they would just like walk up to her and pull her skirt up or grope her or pretend like they were humping her. And it's like, this isn't a fucking joke when the mics are off. Not that it's probably funny, but basically what I'm saying is, with Opie sort of associating with him, do you think that this is just the sign that Opie has given up?
No, that's the funny thing, is that he should have given up. The sign that Opie's given up is that he's doing Facebook Live. The fact that he thinks he's going to rekindle the magic by teaming up with Bubba tells me that he actually has a glimmer of hope still in his eye that he's going to get famous again. But anyway, everything that you just said, Opie is just as guilty of all these things, and so is Howard Stern. Things change so quickly in this country anyway. with what you used to be able to get away with on morning radio. Opie used to shove wiffle ball bats into girls' vaginas, and they would do the most horrendous shit to girls, and not even porn stars. Like they sometimes they were just girls who just wanted attention and coming up on the in the studio, and they would do the most horrendous shit to them. Which, hey, before the internet, that was shocking. People enjoyed it. That was what you did in morning radio. Howard Stern kind of invented it, I believe. And, you know, obviously he had the Sibian. He would have girls sit on a masturbation machine and get jerked off on his show. And that was like a thing that he would do all the time. And now just thinking about that is insane. The lawsuits that would happen, the cancel culture, you could never get away with that. Bubba was probably even more extreme than either of these guys because that's how Bubba got his name. Was by being the most extreme guy possible. But they've all changed. They can't do it anymore. They can't get away with it anymore. And the cream rises to the top, and that's why Anthony Cumia and Jim Norton continue to do shows. People continue to enjoy them. And people like Howard Stern, because he lost Artie Lang, and Opie and Bubba, they're being relegated now because they can't do as good a show when they can't exploit whores or, you know, sluts who want to come up and have people put things inside their vaginas.
But I think that with Opie, I think he's let the criticism almost, well, maybe not drive him insane, but he's let it get to him so much that he's refusing to actually listen to the common criticism. And it's like, you're not funny. So stop trying to be the jokester. What Opie is he's a really good interviewer, mostly. So I think that he should sort of focus on doing that sort of show of saying, oh, today we've got Carl, or tomorrow it's fucking the Ultimate Warrior or whatever. But that shows you how my brain works, that that's my go-to names, Carl and the Ultimate Warrior.
But the Ultimate Warrior is the worst interview in the history. Have you ever heard that guy at a show? He won't shut up. He's the worst.
But with I think that Opie should focus more on that. And I think people would go, you know what? He's pretty good. But having his fucking plumber come on and joke about the latest raspberry-flavored brewski that he got, this is not the way to go.
Yeah, and I know we could give Opie advice forever, and he would never take it. In fact, I believe it was Eric Nagel, E-Rock, the producer of Opie and Anthony. I was talking to him, and Eric was even saying, the thing with Opie is when everyone explains to him what he should do with really sound rationale, he will always do the opposite thing. You'll never tell him what to do. He'll always do the opposite thing. And it's gotten him into so much trouble to the point where he has no gig anymore. And, you know, it's tough when you have the morning show on Sirius XM, which is a national show and millions of listeners. There isn't another platform like that unless you get to the Joe Rogan level of podcasting. And I think Opie teamed up with Westwood One when he got fired from Sirius and thought maybe that was going to happen. Not even close. He's fallen so far. Like, you and I have way more people listening to us than Opie has listening to him on his podcast. And to think about what he used to be, that's really pathetic. I don't know that there, I wouldn't have any advice for him. I would tell him to stop doing it. He's embarrassing himself. Honestly, when he's at his best, he has other comedians in the room and he keeps his mouth shut and lets them be funny. That's probably his best bet. But I don't know that he should even be broadcasting anymore. It's not working for him.
Yeah, if I was Opie, and I'm not, by the way,
good.
But if I was Opie, I would send Anthony a text and I would say, let's maybe not bring the show back because Anthony doesn't need that, but they could do like a monthly or once a week show together.
Yeah, they wanted to. They tried to hire him. Compound Media tried to hire Opie to come over to where Ant's company and do a morning show. And he turned it down.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned Compound Media because I'm sort of friendly-ish with Dave Landau. I've interviewed him a few times. And in fact, anyone great. Listening to this, Dave was on the previous episode by the time this comes out. But yeah, this November, I was going to go to New York to and I was allowed to, well, I might have misread the message. I don't think they were going to have me as a guest on the Cumia show, but they were going to let me like watch it live. I was invited to be on a fair one and all that stuff. And then fucking America decided to turn into the Wild West with this fucking AIDS bomb that's gone off. So there's no way I'm going.
That's funny. I got to go on Cumia's show and that was a blast. And then about a year later, I got booked to do Chip Chipperson's show, Jim Norton's show up there. So I just shot E-Rock a note, and also Dave and Anthony, and I just said, hey, guys, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to swing by the studio. You know, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, Eric just said, okay, cool, yeah, we'll see you then. So I went up there, and I just sat. They have, like, these little stands set up. You can just watch the show. And I just sat there and was just going to watch the show. And then Anthony's like, who are these podcasts? So they brought me on. I wasn't even booked. So you could just kind of work your way onto the show if you're smart about it, I guess.
What's Anthony Cumia like in person? Because, again, like, I interviewed him barely, and I thought he was really funny, but I would say he's kind of intimidating in person because he seems nuts.
My experience with Anthony, and I don't have a ton of experience with him, but him and I actually did catch a train together to go down to Jim Norton's show. So we did the show together and then traveled together down in the subway and then went to Jim's show. So I got to hang out with him one-on-one, just him and I. He was the exact person that I've been listening to on the radio for years. Everything about him. Just seeing, he's a super cool guy. People are recognizing him. He's just like, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Just really chill and just a funny guy. Same person that I've always heard.
Well, from one podcast in Italian to another that I got to ask you about, the infamous Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I do listen to his show, but it's crazy to see what's kind of happened where, like, a few years ago, he was bigger than Joe Rogan. Now he's not only been overtaken by Joe Rogan, but it really seems like he's slipped a lot. And I don't know if you follow any of those Carolla people on Twitter, but it's kind of leaked out that Carolla doesn't share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And that while that show has all this money coming in, like millions and millions, and it is the Adam Carolla show, so he would be the draw.
Yeah.
The rest of his show staff and behind the scenes crew are making very little money, to the point that Gina Grad, his news reader, also has a second and third job.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, so what's your take on the sort of changing slash downfall of the Adam Carolla show and the latest revelations?
All right. Well, I didn't hear about those revelations, but it doesn't surprise me. Adam Carolla has kind of formed a niche. He was a morning jock in LA and a bunch of other markets. And he was a little bit right-leaning, but he didn't get too much into politics. He has now gone full on, you have to be pretty right-leaning to, based on the guests that he brings on and the conversations that he has, in order to enjoy him. So he's definitely turned off a whole segment of the audience that Joe Rogan doesn't do that. Joe Rogan talks to right, left. He's kind of in the middle, and there's no one who's going to get too turned off unless you're a crazy nut job. So Adam Carolla has kind of placed himself in a place where he's not going to be Joe Rogan. With that said, yes, Adam was the biggest show because he was very early to start a podcast. I think it was 2009 after he got fired and he started the podcast. So he was like number one for a long time. I bet he has more downloads now than he did 5 years ago. Even though he's down on the charts, podcasting has just blown up. Everyone listens to podcasts all the time now. So I would imagine he has millions of listeners and they've taken a shit ton of money. So I'm sure he's happy with where he's at. Now, as far as what he's paying people, and this actually goes back to the old radio days. Now, Adam Carolla is a radio guy, so he knows how this works. These gigs are jobs that everybody wants. Being the newsreader, Gina Grad, or being Bald Brian, who's hitting the drops, or Dawson, who's doing the reads. These jobs are coveted, and therefore, you don't have to pay people as much because there's so many people who want it and so many people who can do it. Gina Grad might not make a ton of money from Adam Carolla, but we all know her name, which means she can go do appearances. She can write a book. She can do, you know, start other sideshows, do whatever she wants. So they're getting a lot of publicity from being on the show. You don't have to pay people as much to be on the show. And it's like, that's kind of how capitalism works. It's like, well, you make all this money. Like, yeah, because if I left the show, it wouldn't exist. That's why I make all the money. And, you know, Bald Brian leaves. Everyone loves Bald Brian, but they'd get a different person to hit the sound effects. It'd still be the Adam Carolla show.
Yeah, but my big issue with his show these days is, like, I only tend to do 2 to 3 episodes a month because I'm fucking busy. But then again, I'm not making the money he does from his show. He does 5 shows of the main thing a week plus others. I don't know how that's fucking possible to have content for that amount of shows. Like, I can already see you getting bored by me.
No,
and
I know
this will be 20 minutes, you know.
I know the answer to this. It's that he repeats himself a lot. And we documented this. We did a review of the Adam Carolla show, and I'm a longtime Adam Carolla listener. I don't listen as much these days, but longtime listener. And he just repeats the same stories over and over and over again. And like you said, he's doing 5 days a week, the Adam Carolla show, but he's also doing a show with Mark Garagus. He's doing a show with Dr. Drew. He's got all these other shows going too. So he doesn't even remember what show he's on. He'll repeat himself. Yeah, I was just talking to Drew about this thing, blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, no, we just heard that over here. And then we heard it again over here. It's like, he's a little oversaturated. I would agree with you on that.
And he did an episode about a week or two ago with Jay Moore was a guest.
Yeah,
and it was fucking, it was just painful because Jay Moore was either, you know, a bit high or on something or nervous. And it's like he's rambling through all these impressions back to back, which was a mistake because then you kind of notice all his impressions sort of sound the same and they're all from the 70s. Then he goes to Gina Grad and starts talking about how he wants to bang her.
Yeah.
And a lot of us would like to, but you don't say that on the air. And right. it's like, this is complete shit. And but then again, the joke's on me because I'm going to keep listening.
Well, the thing that, and who was the guy who used to do DAG? David Alan Green, or is it David Alan
Greer?
Yeah, Greer. Used to do his show all the time. He doesn't do it anymore. And I think the same thing happens with him and Joe Coy and some of these regular guests that come on where they get stuck in these impressions. And Adam wants to keep that going for way too long. And again, I think it goes back to his old radio days. It's like, we got to fill time. We got to stretch time. We got to get to the break. Let's just keep doing this, keep doing this. And they'll just run a bit into the ground. And it gets really hard to listen to. And I heard that same interview you're talking about. And yeah, I'm just like, can we just talk like normal people for a minute? This is so annoying.
Yeah, it's like surely he's got Chris Farley stories we'd like to hear.
Right, yeah, there's probably other things to talk about.
Yeah, but Carolla's got that thing. It's like when you're arguing with your girl and she fucking makes a great point and then you know that she knows she's made a great point and then 40 minutes later she's still talking and then you start going, I think O.J. Simpson was right, you know.
Yeah, right.
Where's that fucking ashtray? But another podcast titan I have to ask you about, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Which, here's the thing that I find so strange about Joe Rogan is that he has the biggest podcast in the world. I don't know anyone who fucking listens to it.
Really? I do. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast.
See, my whole thing about him is he doesn't stick to a point of view.
Right.
It's like one minute he's super liberal, then he's kind of right wing. Then he's like fucking racist, but then he's not, and then it's like he's whatever the guest needs him to be. He's a whore.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point. I listen to Joe Rogan, but only based on who the guest is. So I don't listen. I don't listen to every single episode or anything like that. But if there's someone I'm interested in, then I listen to him, and I think he does a fantastic job of interviewing the huge variety of types of guests he brings on because he brings on scientists. He brings on MMA fighters. He brings on comedians, movie stars, you know, all these different types of people. And he does an amazing job of having intelligent conversations with all of them. So that's the thing about Joe Rogan that I think is really impressive. But I don't know people who like listen to every episode of Joe Rogan. Because if you're not into UFC, there's whole episodes. It's just about UFC. And, you know, if you're not into certain things, then I don't know how you would listen to every – you don't listen to Joe Rogan because you love Joe Rogan. It's because he gets amazing guests. Is my take on it.
Yeah, but the problem with UFC is that there's so many flash in the pans.
Yeah.
And everybody's get 5 syllables per name. Where it's like, yeah. No, I don't know. Will Smith, I like Will Smith. Talk about Will Smith, I don't know. But with Joe Rogan, again, not that I listen often, I just listen to the clips, but I think that this Spotify deal has changed him for the worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, to be fair, if you're paying me $100 million, I'm going to fucking talk about kittens 24/7.
Yeah, I'll fall in line for $100 mil, sure.
Yeah, but I think Joe Rogan's the show quality from the part that I've seen really stinks. And I noticed the beginning of the downfall was when Robert Downey Jr. was his guest this year. And you see that and it's like, holy shit. And Rogan's asking these hard-hitting questions like, what was it like being cast as Iron Man? And you think,
Who cares?
It's like I'm fucking struggling to make conversations with my friend Jeff making fart noises. And he's got Robert. Thank you. And he's got Downey Jr. on, and it's like, this is so fucking boring, and it's got 5 million viewers.
Yeah, I documented. So he moved to Austin. He's got the new studio there. And his first guest was this guy, Adam Curry, from the show No Agenda. And I'm a huge fan of No Agenda with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. And Adam Curry comes on. It couldn't have been a worse interview. Joe Rogan totally dropped the ball, just kept going off on tangents, wanted to talk about what he wanted to talk about. Adam Curry was just lost. And yeah, there are times when he's a little bit off his game. I think more recently since Spotify, he's been a little bit more off his game.
But then again, one of the things that I do like about Rogan is that if you take a Google search of podcast, the only topics are Van Halen tributes and Trump versus Biden.
Right.
So, to be fair, my last episode was Van Halen.
But I saw that.
Yeah.
I was just on a show a couple of days ago, and the host of that show like cried about Eddie Van Halen dying. And so we were talking about that, and I don't make fun of him because, yeah, Eddie Van Halen was amazing, and I love his music. And the only positive thing about him dying is that we're all talking about it. We're all listening to the music again. I was going back and watching old concerts from the early 80s on YouTube. It's like, that's the cool thing about it is that we all remember, like, oh, yeah, we got to really appreciate this guy. So I don't have a problem with you doing a Van Halen tribute. I think that's a good idea at this time.
I have a problem with me doing a tribute to Van Halen because I listened back to it and I said the line, and this is a real hot take, you know, Eddie Van Halen really was one of the best guitarists in the world. You know, and you hear that back and you go,
no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, it's like, that's a hot take. Speaking of hot...
I think I have a drop for you on that.
No shit, Sherlock! No shit!
All right, sorry.
Do you have the Stuttering John one of the tequila song?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. So we have this guy named PJ Filliam who sends us in some music from time to time, and he created our intro music for Stuttering John. You have to know what Stuttering John's catchphrase is to get this, but it's still hilarious.
Yeah,
it's so brilliant. I remember when PJ said that to me. He usually writes these songs with all these lyrics and all these jokes. He's like, I don't know if this one's any good. And I listened to it and I'm like, this is amazing. I love it.
Speaking of podcast and brilliance, it's been announced that there's a new podcast coming. And I honestly think that this is going to be the podcast equivalent of the Thanos click, where Hillary Clinton is going to start a podcast.
I've already listened to it.
Oh, it's happened?
Yeah, it's already out.
Oh, my God.
I listened to her and John Legend. I'm sorry if I cut you off just now. You might have been going somewhere with that.
Oh, no, believe me. I was just going to say something about Eddie Van Halen again.
So I listened to real quick because I'm like, anytime Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton or someone was puts out a podcast, I have to at least check it out to see if we should talk about it. And there's nothing to talk about. Hillary Clinton was on with John Legend talking about how important it is to vote, because that's the message that's not getting out there. And I don't know if what it's like where you are, but over in the States, it is being drilled into us. Anywhere you go, Google's telling me to vote. Facebook's telling me to vote. TV's telling me to vote. Hillary Clinton, like, I get it. Vote. We get it. Stop it with this nonsense. We're adults. We learned this shit in third grade. We get it.
Notice how Hillary Clinton isn't telling anyone to rape their interns.
you don't tell people that either.
But that's the thing, that I haven't listened to her podcast, but what I can't wait to hear is how she crowbars in her plugs and segues, which is like, she's like, women are victims of rape on a daily basis. It's horrible. But if you're a rapist and you want to rape women, why don't you use my discount code for Blue Chew?
I don't think that's how her show goes. That would be very fun, yeah, if that's how her show went.
But that, I think that, see, this is one of the problems with the lockdown, is a lot of these famous people aren't making the money they want or getting the attention they want. Because apparently Will Smith and Jada Pinkett are going to start a podcast. And if they do, nobody's getting ads again because they'll get like 2 million downloads on a bad week.
I just listened to Pitbull. He started a brand new podcast and he's on there with Flo Rida. Episode number one of Pitbull's podcast. And you know how it is to build a podcast from ground up, you know how difficult it is to get an audience and then sponsors and everything else. This asshole is his first podcast ever. It's sponsored by State Farm and Pepsi. Like, oh, okay. Well, good for you, buddy. You're the king of podcasting then. Congratulations. So frustrating.
Yeah, it drives me mad. Like, that's why I had just the name drop, Jim Florentine on.
Yeah.
We were talking about how Conan O'Brien was being called the king of podcasts. And it's like, yeah, that takes a lot of balls to start a podcast. And you have 20 million social media followers and a TV show and decades of fans.
Well, not only the fans, but he's friends with every celebrity because he's been a talk show host for decades. That's the whole thing. Conan O'Brien is a great guy. I think he's a funny guy. That's good for him. But yeah, it's not impressive that every single episode you're able to get an A-list celebrity. It's like, yeah, you're Conan O'Brien, of course.
Yeah. Oh, well, had to rush a show this week, folks. So I just texted my friend Tom Hanks. And you know, and the rest of us are like, oh, here's the fart of the week.
The rest of us are like, here's Carl from Who Are These Podcasts?
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Hang on. We got Bruce Springsteen on. He's going to sing Glory Days live acoustically. You know, we're just slumming it. And I hate when they have...
Sorry, you mentioned Glory Days. I always have it up on the board.
Glory Day! But I just think that with people like Conan, especially when they get these guests on, and in it they're talking about, we've got no direction, we're just slumming it. It's like, when you've got Bono with the Edge, Larry Mullen, and Adam Clayton, all on your episode, that's not slumming it. That's like... I hate podcasting, but I love it, and I don't want to stop it, but I just, fuck, I think it's almost unfair that you should, that if you can text a celebrity, you're not allowed to start a podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. Dax Shepard's one of them. There's a lot of people who have no business podcasting, but they have celebrity friends, so they get big names. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know who's listening to these shows. You talked about you don't know anyone who listens to Joe Rogan. I don't know anyone who listens to these shows that just have celebrities on. They're so boring. They don't talk about anything interesting. They're not good interviewers. They're not good interviewees. I'd much rather listen to a podcast that can get on, like, even the people you're talking about, you've had on your show. Interesting people with an interesting take on things who actually have something to talk about and aren't so guarded and safe and have to clear things with their publicist. If you have a publicist, you're not a good guest on a podcast.
Yeah. Because one of the things I do is because I one of my other jobs is I edit for these wrestler podcasts, Conan Disco Inferno. And because of that association, I can get interviews with a lot of guys from the 90s era, but nobody wants to say anything anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Where it's like, it's good to have the name of, oh, look, here's Psycho Sid, or here's the fucking, I can't think of one other wrestler, Ultimate Warrior.
But Ultimate Warrior!
Yeah. But then they won't tell stories. And it's like...
It's like, guys, we all know that you were doing coke out of your minds all night long and then getting in the ring. Can you just tell one fun story? Like, no, I don't know.
Well, speaking of fun, I had a lot of fun talking with you, Carl. But we have one final question that we ask everybody these days. And that is, what is the last porno that you watched?
The last porno that I watched, I think, was a cam girl. What was her name? There was some cam girl that actually, you know, long red hair, looked to be of Irish descent. A girl that I think that you might enjoy. I don't know what your taste is, but just based on where you are.
Asians bent over.
Oh, okay. This girl had freckles and stuff, so maybe that wouldn't be your thing.
Yeah. Well, for the answer to my question, it was a Kobe tie thing from the 90s.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You like to go retro with your porn.
Oh, God. The 90s was the peak of everything. The best music, the best fashion, and the best whores. And if you don't believe me, just ask Bubba the Love Sponge.
I think I agree with everything you just said.
Is there anything you'd like to plug for these slime bags?
Yeah, I wanted to say our show is not for everybody, but if you have a sick sense of humor and you like goofing on jerks, then check out Who Are These Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. You can also go to whoarethese.com, and that's where you can get links to our subreddit, our Discord, our Patreon, our YouTube, Twitter, everything else, everywhere that we're at.
There we go. Carl, thank you very much for your time, and have a great day.
Yuzi, thanks for having me, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Okay, thank you, Carl, and holy shit, is he funny. Please, please go check out his podcast if you haven't heard it. It really genuinely is one of the best ones going, even better than Inspired with Christopher Martin. And wouldn't it be a shame if somebody submitted Inspired to Who Are These Podcasts? Could old Sister Christian, Mr. Fake Cancer, handle getting buried like that on a scale like this? Well, we're about to find out, maybe sometime soon. But anyway, thank you for listening. See you on the next episode. And it's Yuzi. Bye-bye.
Football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.